Welcome to the message podcast of Werribee Baptist Church, a vibrant church located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Good morning, church, and welcome. So great to see all of you online and in the room. And I'm surprised there's this many people in the room because did you know there's only 3 days left before Christmas? Or it might be 2 days, depending on how you count it. I did some consulting before the service, and my stage manager said, it's three sleeps. That's the best way to measure it. And did you notice, as for you adults, because the kids are over there, the kids want Christmas now. Right? And we're like, no, we need more time, right? Anybody else feel like you're caught out already? Like things are just not going to happen the way? I am so far behind this Christmas, I cannot believe it. It's never been like this before in my life. And I've got, I think I figured out why. Because this month at church, we've made it busier than any December before. And we've got some family dramas going on, and a lot of you have dramas going on, and you like to share those with me, and I'm making excuses, aren't I? Right. And I tell people all the time, well, we can make excuses or we can make progress, but you can't make both, so I'm going to stop making excuses. And besides, excuses about Christmas being three sleeps away and me not being ready for it are ridiculous. You know why? Because Christmas has been coming for 360-something days, right? It should not be a surprise. But have you ever got caught out by something that did surprise you? You didn't see it coming. There was no way you were going to be able to predict that. Imagine going to work tomorrow or going to school tomorrow. And as you get there and you start doing your thing, whatever your thing is, the skies open up. And the glory of God is revealed there all around you. And then an angel's standing there talking to you. What are you going to do? Call the ambos? Yep, something's going wrong here. Well, hey, that's where we're up to in our angelic announcement series. That's what's happening today. If you've missed the first two messages in the series about what the angel said to Mary and what the angel said to Joseph, go to our YouTube channel, go to the app, go to our website, and watch it again, like it, share it, get caught up, do whatever you do with that. Make sure you're liking and sharing because that way the message gets out to everyone. But today, we're talking about some ordinary shepherds who were going about their business, doing their normal kind of shepherd stuff. And their story reminds us of something. And we're going to really tap into this today. And this is it. God calls ordinary people into his extraordinary plan. Any ordinary people in the room? Any ordinary people online, just type it in, I'm ordinary, right? Or maybe I'm weird or whatever you want to type because you're behind a screen and we don't know. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Today, as we step into the sandals of these shepherds, I want us to consider their response to this angelic announcement and see what it might do to inspire us or motivate us concerning our own response to the message that the angels gave to them that day. Luke was one of Jesus' friends. Actually, Luke was a doctor. He was a historian. And he wrote really a lot of what Peter saw. Peter was one of Jesus' closest friends. But anyway, in his account of Jesus' life, Luke says this. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby. Now, that night, we're talking about the night Jesus was born. That happened in the verses before this. Guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. The shepherds were everyday, ordinary people. They were humble. They were hardworking. And their role was not glamorous. Their role was not prominent. But God chose them for this divine moment. Now, these guys were the most unlikely audience. And here's what we're going to learn and be able to understand because of the shepherds. See, the shepherds' occupation shows us that God's message reaches the ordinary. God sends his message to the ordinary. It doesn't matter about your occupation. See, these unsuspecting shepherds, they would have been, again, just going about daily business, their ordinary everyday life, staying in the fields, it says. Now, they were actually camping out. They were living in tents. And this actually calls into question the time of year we celebrate Christmas, because this would have been Northern Hemisphere and it would have been cold and all that. They would have been out probably in the spring. So if we start thinking about when Jesus was born, it's probably not when we celebrate it, but that's okay. At least we celebrate it. They were staying nearby Bethlehem. That's where Jesus was born. And they were tending sheep. They did this to make a living. Now, what they did to make a living was their occupation, okay? That was their job. Now, by the way, if you were here in the first service, or if you're listening back to this because you got it in the first service, I flipped these words around, and I totally messed it up, okay? But I got corrected in between services, and I did more research. Anyway, their occupation was their job. It wasn't their vocation. Vocation is your calling. Voca meaning call. Vocation and occupation are not the same thing. And that's going to be important as we track through the story here a little bit. Their occupation, I would suggest, was their vocation, but sometimes it's different. Their work was essential, but it was undervalued in society. It wasn't a glamorous job. In fact, it was a job, it wouldn't have been a high-paying job. It was reserved for people with very low or no skills and for really young people. And how many of you have heard the story, even if you're not a church person, you've probably heard this story, about David and Goliath, right? We all love that story. That's one of the favorite stories that we learn in kids' church, but it was a real story. David was a shepherd boy. And he took out Goliath with his sling and a rock. You know all about that. Well, David, before he did that, he was out watching the sheep while his brothers were there at the battle lines. He had taken his brothers some supplies that day and figured out what was going on. He said, okay, you guys are all wimps and you're not willing to take care of the giant. I'll do it. And so he jumped in and took care of business. But his occupation was that of a shepherd. He wasn't on the radar. In fact, when Samuel was a prophet of God who went and anointed David as the next king of Israel when Saul was the king. Now, Samuel goes to David's dad, Jesse. Hang with me here. You got to understand this backstory to understand shepherding. He goes to Jesse, David's dad, and says, hey, one of your sons is going to be the next king. So let's line them up here. And Samuel started going one by one. And it's not it. It's not it. They started with the biggest, tallest, smartest, all that kind of stuff. And he exhausted all the guys in front of him. He's like, Jesse, what's up? None of these guys are it, but God told me one of your sons is going to be the king. And Jesse said, oh, yeah, David. Yeah, he's out with the sheep. That would have been the mentality of a shepherd. They were not even on the radar, and it wasn't on Jesse's radar that he could possibly be the next king of Israel. Now, shepherds' work was mundane, and it also kept them out of temple worship because they were out in the fields. They had to live out there. But even if they could have gone to temple, they would have been ceremonially unclean because of the work that they did. And I find it very fascinating when we think about the shepherds. They would have been Jewish young men or young women, and they wouldn't have been going to temple very much. You know, temple is where the Israelites thought that God resided. They put God in a temple-sized box so that they could go to temple and worship God and do the God thing. And then when they left temple, they could go do whatever they wanted to. When Jesus came, by the way, this is a side note. When Jesus came, he took God out of the box. Jesus didn't come and hang out in the temple. He wasn't born in a temple. It wasn't about the religious systems of the day. In fact, I find it fascinating that God's telling these shepherds this. Now, these shepherds, again, very mundane task. It would have been boring, and except for the times it wasn't, when lions and bears came to steal the sheep and there would be a little bit of activity there. But they had done this hundreds of times before, and they would have been having the same conversations that we have with our work colleagues. Oh, how was your weekend? Hey, how about the bombers or the pies or the cats or whoever you're barracking for? And hey, how amazing was that sermon Pastor Sam preached on Sunday? Right? Yeah, there we go. Who's that? Who was that? Gold star, right. They were just normal guys, and they're out there in the fields, ordinary guys, and they would have been the ones who were the last ones you would expect to get the information they're about to get. They had the same struggles that you and I do. They pay bills. They have kids, maybe, and a spouse, and they have relationship struggles, and they're just normal, everyday people. You know, God could have used other channels to announce the birth of his son. Just a few verses earlier, we saw how this whole account started, where Caesar Augustus, the governor of the day, put out a decree that all the world should be taxed. He got his message out, right, about that, probably through bulk mailing or social media or whatever, but he got it out. We really don't know how he got it out, but he didn't go tell shepherds to get that job done. God chose to tell these simple shepherds. He didn't tell the political rulers. He didn't tell the religious leaders. He told these shepherds. Think about what the shepherds are experiencing right now. That angel's appearance, it would have rocked their world. It would have challenged their normal. This kind of stuff doesn't happen. And it launched them into a new vocation, a new calling. Their occupation, still being shepherds, but it's a new calling, bigger than the job. This underscores a really powerful truth. The powerful truth is that God's message is for all people, especially those who may feel unqualified, undeserving, unworthy, or insignificant. God chose overlooked, ordinary people with his extraordinary plan to give this message. So don't let your circumstances, don't let your situation limit what you believe God can do through you and in you, because God uses ordinary people. He meets us in our ordinary and calls us to the extraordinary. Getting way ahead of ourselves though, so let's go back to Luke chapter 2, verse 10. So the angel is surrounding them, and it says they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." So the unlikely audience of shepherds just got a joyful announcement. And in that space, we see the shepherds being given here an opportunity. The shepherds have got a message. Now they have an opportunity, because God's message requires a response or demands a response. It cannot be neutral. When God sends a message, we have to respond. The shepherds had to respond, to make a decision. So they're minding their own business. All of a sudden, there's an angel there talking to them. And if that's you, or if that's me, when that angel shows up, glory of God's all around me, I'm going, really? Am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? Hey, Joe, is this real or is this just me? Is it that kebab I ate at 2 a.m.? Or, you know, or did somebody spike the eggnog at the Christmas Eve party? The work breakup? See, the shepherd's first reaction was fear. And that's common with the angel's appearances. When the angel came to Mary, when the angel came to Joseph, they were afraid. First thing, the angel has to calm people down when the angel shows up. The shepherds didn't know what hit them. For all they knew, these were aliens or something. But the angel calmed their fears. He says, "Hey, I have got wonderful news for you. The news I have is going to be peace and joy to the whole world, to all people." And I love what he says. He says, it's going to be great joy. Anybody need a little joy in your life? I like it when little simple things happen that bring little joy in my life. Do you? Or maybe you don't experience those things, you know? Like, when I had kids at home, like, they actually cleaned up their room or something. A little bit of joy. or when they had animals and they cleaned. Oh, wait, that never happened. that would have brought me a little joy. But the angel says, great joy to all the people. Wow, that's a big announcement, right? Let's see what it says. It says, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. That's big news. That's not little joy. That's great joy. A Savior is here, the Savior, the Messiah. He's going to save the world, and he's been born in Bethlehem. Back up. In Bethlehem, the city of David. You know why that's important? Because it was prophesied in the Old Testament, in the Jewish scriptures. And that's why it's so crazy that the Jewish people didn't understand it when it happened, because it was prophesied before that he would be born in Bethlehem. He would be of the line of David. So the angel says, your Savior has arrived. This is extraordinary, and he's the Messiah. He says this, and you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Now, if I'm being told that the Messiah, the Lord, is born, I'm expecting you'll find him because he's in the palace. You'll find him because he's going to have crowns all around him that he's getting ready to grow into. But the angel said, you're going to recognize him. You'll know it's the right one when you show up in a barn and he's got snuggly strips of cloth wrapped around him. And he's laying there in a manger. That's what the angel told the shepherds. They're given specific details so there'd be no question about it. Is this the right one? Because if they went looking for Jesus on their own, that's not the kid they would have figured was Jesus. They would have expected something completely different. Then what happens? It says, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. So the angel's joined by a bunch of other angels, and they're singing praises to God, letting them know, proclaiming the good news, Jesus is born. Now, the shepherds have a decision to make. Here's their opportunity, because God's message demands a response. If this happened here today, we would put together a committee of shepherds to evaluate what just happened. And this committee is going to last for 6 or 8 months, because they're not going to make a decision in one meeting. And they're going to take all the data, they're going to compare notes, and they're going to rehearse it over and over and over again. And they're going to bring in expensive consultants to try to figure it out. And then they're going to decide what their position on the angelic announcement is, and they're going to write a position paper, which is going to become a policy, because policies are more important than position papers, so that 30 years from now, when someone else experiences this, they can go back to our policy that we created so they'll know how to handle it. All right. You think that doesn't happen? I could tell you stories. Right. So clearly, they've got to figure out what they're going to do with this news. Look at what it says they did. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Thankfully, they're not like us. They didn't create the committee. Then it goes on. It says, they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a manger. So the angels returned to heaven. And again, as it says, the angels returned to heaven. If I'm one of the shepherds, I'd be thinking, hang on, I got questions. Don't leave yet. Help me out a little bit more. But the angels returned. And when the shepherds encountered this angel, they faced a pivotal moment. Their fear and their wonder gave way to faith and action. The unlikely audience who heard the joyful announcement are now moved to an immediate action. They responded by running to see Jesus. It says they hurried, let's go see. And they found Jesus exactly the way the angel had said, so there's no doubt, there's no debate, there's no arguments. Look at the journey the shepherds have been on up to now. They had the confronting appearance of angels there in front of them, the glory of the Lord, and it had left them in fear. They got a comforting message from the angel that says, hey, it's going to be okay, and I've got some great words that are going to bring joy to all people, hope. And then they had this clear invitation to go and see. They gave them specific directions. It's an opportunity to see Jesus personally. So they found Jesus, and then after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. You see, God's message, and it's the same today, interrupts our routines. It stops our ordinary, and it demands a response. The shepherds did not debate. They didn't delay. They just acted on what they had heard. God's message, the message of Jesus, the gospel, requires us to act with faith and with urgency. The shepherds' response revealed something. It revealed that they understood their mission had changed, their vocation, their calling had changed. They went from let's go see to let's go tell. We've got to share this with others. The shepherd's obedience is what we're looking at here. They took that opportunity to become obedient, and then God's message compels us to share. That's what's going on with these guys. You know, the first recorded activity of these shepherds was sharing, was telling everyone. They were the first known missionaries after they saw Jesus. It says they told everyone what they had seen and what they heard. And you see what happened? When they told everyone what they had seen and what they heard, they got mocked and they got ridiculed and they got beaten up. Right? Where's that coming from? Right? I didn't read any of that. Right? No. It says the people were astonished. The people were amazed. The people wanted to hear what the shepherd said. You know, a lot of times we're hesitant to share our faith. We're hesitant to share this good news of the gospel of Jesus, that Jesus came to save sinners, because we're afraid we're going to get mocked. We're afraid we're going to get picked on and things like that and abused for sharing our faith. And we might, but we might not. It might be that people are waiting to hear and they're going to be astonished and amazed. After they told everyone, it says the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So this encounter with Christ evoked worship of God from them. And I'm thinking about these shepherds, and you know, they're the first ones to hear this news. Can you imagine if that was you? Hey, I am special. The angels told me about Jesus being born. And actually, I've got this great ministry I've created about shepherds telling people about Jesus. And bring all your friends and come and hear me tell you about Jesus. It's hard being a pastor and thinking through that, because I want you to bring your friends and let me tell them about Jesus. But all they did, they weren't proud. They were humble. And they gave all the praise, all the glory to God. They kept pointing people to God continually. Their life now consisted of three things. Their work, okay, that was their occupation to pay the bills. But their vocation, their calling, was to worship, to praise God, and to witness, to proclaim him to others. Their journey of obedience is something we can learn from. When they heard, there was immediate action. When we hear the good news, or when we hear something from God, when we learn something new about God, we shouldn't delay. We should just go. They had a personal encounter when they saw Jesus for themselves, and that personal encounter solidified their faith. Same for us. We need a personal encounter with Jesus. And then once we have that personal encounter with Jesus, there needs to be a joyful proclamation where we know that's too good to be true, too good to keep to ourselves, so we have to share it with others. That's what true faith does. It compels us to act. It transforms us from the inside out. And then it inspires us to share the good news. So what do we do with this as we head out into the world this week in our Christmas season? Well, the shepherd's story shows us something very profound. And I've talked about it from the start today. Is that God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. The shepherds began that night like they had hundreds of others before. And God came in and interrupted their ordinary and called them into the extraordinary. He broke through with their routine with a message of hope. And it was profound. He didn't go to kings. He didn't go to priests. He went to humble shepherds that were often overlooked. You know what that reminds me? Is that God meets us right where we are. You don't have to be the king. You don't have to be the priest. You don't have to be the pastor. God will meet you right where you are. In your ordinary. Anybody ordinary? Yeah, we're all ordinary. And God meets us right there. Think about how the shepherds responded. They could have doubted. They could have delayed. They could have overcomplicated things like we do. But they didn't. They said, hey, this is what we've heard. Let's go see. And now let's go tell. It was that simple for them. The shepherd's story is not just an ancient story. It's your story. And it's my story too. Because God's message reaches the ordinary. And most of you just said, yeah, that's me. I'm ordinary. Just like the shepherds. We may feel ordinary. And sometimes that doesn't feel good. Sometimes that makes us feel unseen or even unimportant. You may think, well, hang on, I'm so ordinary. I'm not even the kind of person that God wants. God doesn't want this message to come to me because you don't know me. I'm too bad. That kind of stuff. But the good news of Jesus is for you right where you're at. God reaches us in our ordinary. No matter your background, no matter your struggles, no matter your doubts, no matter how bad you've been in life or how good you've been in life, God's message that Jesus came is for you. Have you believed that? Have you let that sink in? Have you let that interrupt your ordinary and realize, hey, I'm actually pretty extraordinary because God loved me enough to send Jesus to die for me. That makes us pretty extraordinary. God's message doesn't just reach the ordinary, it also demands a response. The shepherds could have ignored what the angels had to say, went on about life. Instead, they chose to act. They dropped everything, and they sought Jesus. Pause there for a second, parentheses. What happened to the sheep? Did you think about that? Yeah. These random thoughts, I hate it. I wish I didn't think like that, but it's like, were they being irresponsible? I bet they got fired from their job. Anyway, that's today, the same good news calls us to respond. The good news is there. The good news is that Jesus, God loved you, sent Jesus to this earth to die for your sins, and you need to respond to that. Your response is going to be one of two things. Either you're going to reject it, or you're going to say, yes, I want some of that. I need that. I recognize I need that in my life. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. And then once you have accepted his invitation to have a relationship with him, it compels, God's message compels us to share. The shepherds became messengers of the message. God has entrusted us with that same calling to go out, to share the good news with others. So, question for you, who in your life this Christmas needs to hear this good news? Who in your life that you're going to have a meal at Christmas, you're going to exchange a gift with, can you just give a simple word about, remember, this is all about Jesus. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Who this Christmas do you need to be praying for and then looking for that opportunity? Who do you need to be inviting to our Christmas service on Wednesday? This season, let the story of the shepherds inspire your response. Maybe today you feel like you're in your routine and you feel mundane and you feel like your occupation is just a job. But maybe God's calling you to another vocation. Not a different job, but a different calling on your life. Maybe you're feeling afraid and unworthy. The shepherds felt that way. Mary felt that way. Joseph felt that way. You need to know that you are loved and you are chosen. Maybe you've already encountered Jesus, like most of you in this room, most of you online watching this have already encountered Jesus, and you need to be like the shepherds to say, I went and saw, now I'm going to go and tell. I've got to share this with others. As we head towards Christmas, be like shepherds. Be like these shepherds. We need to believe God's message. We need to respond in faith. And then we need to share the good news. You don't have to be someone special for God to use you, because God specializes in using ordinary people, you, ordinary people, me, to accomplish extraordinary things. As you go out this week, look around, watch what God's doing, see where God's prompting, see where God's physically taking you, and look for the opportunities in the midst of your ordinary where God might want to do something really extraordinary in and through your life. Father, thank you for the shepherds. Thank you for angels. Lord, thank you for all the things that are far beyond our understanding, humanly speaking. Most of which is why in the world you would have sent your son to be born into a world that would be hostile towards him. To come into the world we live in, to take care of our greatest problem, our separation from you because of our sin. Thank you, God, for that mysterious plan that we don't understand, because none of us would have ever done that. And thank you, Lord, for the personal experiences that we've had, for those of us that have already come to faith. Thank you for that. Now help us, inspire us to go and tell others. For those, Lord, that haven't yet come to faith, may the message that was presented to the shepherds that day ring in their ears and make it to their hearts, that they might be willing, just like the shepherds, to say, yes, I'm going to go. I'm going to check this Jesus thing out. I'm going to see if it's for real, because I know I need it. And this is great news for all people. In Jesus' name, amen.